Thank you for tuning in to another weekly edition of the Richmond Independent Media Center radio show. I'm your host this week, Jason Gard. I'm one of the volunteer editors of the website. If you haven't already been and seen the website, the Richmond Independent Media Center website online, it's www.richmond.indymedia.org. And that is a community-based, non-corporate, participatory form of media where really anybody can post their news and views as you see it, uncensored and unedited and spark discussion. If you like what you see on the site, you can respond with a comment. If you have some feedback or some criticism, you can do the same. You can really get the conversation going around our community here in Richmond and all of Central Virginia. I have a really good half hour coming up for you. We're going to go over a couple items from the site that you have posted, and I appreciate your participating on the site. If you're not already doing that, please do participate by posting articles. It's free, and if you can send an email, you can post an article. And then after we go through those items, we're going to interview Gene Bruskin, who's here with the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, and they're in town gearing up for a protest tomorrow. At the Smithfield shareholders meeting downtown. So they're going to want as much community support as possible as they try to raise their voices for better working conditions and labor standards. So we're going to spend most of our half hour with Gene and the UFCW union at Smithfield. And first, we'll want to bring some items to your attention. Thad Williamson has posted an item on here, a new blog responding to the Richmond Times-Dispatch editorial pages. It's about time, I should say. Thad says, I wanted to announce a new blog devoted to responding to some of the op-eds in the Richmond Times-Dispatch from a progressive point of view. You can view the blog at richmondtalksback.wordpress.com. The blog is very much in its early stages, so comments and suggestions are welcome. The topics covered so far include the minimum wage, Walmart, and Iraq. So, again, if you want to check out this and support this new blog, and maybe you've read some editorials in the Times-Dispatch that didn't add up in your estimation, this would probably be pretty gratifying to read this blog. Again, it's richmondtalksback.wordpress.com. Thanks for posting that, Thad. I'm glad to have you participating in this IMC experiment. One feature story on the website that I posted is called Put a Stop to Virginia's Persistent Racism. It's Time for Senator Allen to Go. And what we have here as a featured item is a colorofchange.org petition calling for the censure of Virginia's Senator George Allen because he made some hurtful racial slurs against a man of Indian descent when he thought that he was amongst only his peers down in Southwest Virginia and that nobody was watching. So at the end of that petition, which is makes a really compelling argument against our senator and potential presidential candidate, I posted a comment, and it sparked some discussion. My comment is, Virginia is in the world spotlight again, thanks to George Allen's bigotry. From outside Virginia, a natural assumption is probably leading people to believe that our elected representative's racism is a reflection of a popular attitude among all Virginians, or at least the white folks who make up Allen's, quote, real Virginia. Well, I think it's up to us to separate ourselves from Alan, hold him accountable, and to get serious about putting an end to the prejudice that is quietly accepted at the highest levels of Virginia's government. Southern gentility has insulated white supremacy for too long. It is our responsibility to declare Virginia a racism-free zone. And I just wanted to bring this to your attention. This issue may have died down in the national media, but it's not dying down online, and we need to keep make sure that Senator Allen is held accountable for his actions. If any of you listeners out there have something to say about your encounters with the racism of Virginia's Good Old Boy Network, please use the richmond.indymedia.org website to post those thoughts. And because we're having a little bit of a summer lull in the Richmond IMC website, participation's down. We're not getting quite enough postings on news and perspectives from all of you listeners. So I want to urge you to go ahead and pick up the mouse and become the media. Don't hate the media. Start doing it yourself and hold the public forum for discourse to a higher standard. For the rest of this half hour, we're going to interview Smithfield organizer from UFCW, Gene Bruskin. I want to welcome Gene to the WRIR radio studios.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Gene, I think there's been some buildup in the community around Richmond about Smithfield. I don't think a lot of people had heard about Smithfield before this shareholders meeting came about and organizers started showing up in Richmond. Tell us what's going on.
Well, Smithfield Foods is the largest pork processing company in the world, one of the largest meat packing companies in the world. It's based in Smithfield, Virginia. It's an $11 billion multinational corporation, and it has its annual meeting right here in Richmond. As a matter of fact, it's having it tomorrow afternoon in the Jefferson Hotel. And at this shareholders meeting is a gathering of the board of directors, the CEO, all the top officers, and a lot of their investors. This is also happening in Richmond, which, although it's not a large city, is one of the large markets for this company. The reason there's a protest being organized and people are coming from all over the country is there is a very substantial effort going on in North Carolina, in Tar Heel, North Carolina, in the southeastern corner of the state, where 5,500 workers have been fighting for more than a decade to get union rights on the job, a job which is results in crippling injuries, and during which time workers have systematically had their rights violated under the National Labor Relations Act, and to the extent that even Human Rights Watch has had to intervene and has issued two reports. So we're going to be demonstrating here at the Cedar Street Baptist Church at 11:30 and then gathering for a march at 1:50 at Monroe Park to march by the hotel and around the hotel and at the hotel where the shareholders will be gathering. And it's going to be quite a dynamic get-together.
Wow, and this is all going on tomorrow, huh, Gene?
Yeah. In fact, at this demonstration there's a bus coming up from Tar Heel. There'll be a whole significant contingent of workers out of the plant. There'll be religious leaders from North Carolina, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Virginia. There'll be local civil rights and religious leaders participating, trade unions from all over the region. So, and of course, citizens of Richmond who are consumers of this product. So we think it'll be a really lively, energetic, and very meaningful gathering. And people will get a chance to hear firsthand from these workers about the kind of conditions they face in the plant, which ironically, 100 years later, when the book The Jungle was written, that many folks at gotten assigned as high school reading, maybe college, where they detailed in 1906 in Chicago the horrendous conditions faced by immigrants from Eastern Europe primarily. We now have these conditions taking place very similarly in 2006 in Smithfield Foods plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina. We need aim to change that.
You know, here at the radio station, WRIR is gearing up for a big Labor Day, all day long theme around organized labor. You know, and so it's really great timing that you guys are coming to town now, because there's a lot of attention on organized labor, whereas Virginia is a right to work state, and you know, the concept of unions is just seems foreign to a lot of people here. Nonetheless, I think there's a lot of support for organized labor, and our listeners here don't all agree with the right to work law.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people came out to finally have a chance to support your union, and especially as it concerns a company that is, you know, is based in Smithfield.
Well, we think that in this case in particular, we're talking beyond basic labor rights. We're really talking about people's human rights and people's civil rights. And that's what has brought a lot of the clergy involved, just the absolute moral outrage, where you've got a plant of primarily Latino and African-American workers and a company that has more money than they really can count. And yet they are abusing people in an unacceptable way. And so at this demonstration, in terms of unions, you're going to see members of the Bakery and Confectionery Workers Union from the tobacco plants. You're going to see laborers and teamsters, communication workers, United Food and Commercial Workers Union, steel workers. You'll see an array of banners and participants from the labor movement that you won't often see here, and you'll see them walking with African-American leaders and in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the NAACP and so on. So I'm hoping that that not only will this be a good effort on behalf of the Smithfield workers in Tar Heel, but that this will also encourage this kind of activity in other sectors, because we believe that every worker has a right to a union.
You know, it seems kind of ironic, or maybe even appropriate, that the that Smithfield shareholders would come to Richmond, you know, to be safe from, and think that they could have their meeting, you know, safe from any public scrutiny or response. You know, this being such a headquarters for corporate exploitation, if you will. I think that this sounds like a really like an exciting event that a lot of people probably won't have a chance to participate in if they don't make it down tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that there's two ways for you to participate. There's several ways. One is, depending on your time, if you just come to the church at 11:30 and by noon we'll have started the rally, and spend your noontime down there at that church rally. And if that doesn't work for you, you can join us at 1:50 at the Monroe Park on West Main and North Belvedere, and march with us. If for some reason you can't get out of work and you can't get there during lunchtime, you can go to our website, www.smithfieldjustice.com. And on that website is all the information you need to get educated about this. You can actually, through the website, quickly and easily send a letter to Joseph Luter and to Mr. Pope, who are the outgoing and incoming CEOs of Smithfield, and share that information with your friends, send it around. And so you could internet, be a cyber organizer, and get out in the streets at the same time for this one.
So this march, it's really just a handful of blocks from the Monroe Park down to the hotel. So mm-hmm. Is it going to be on the sidewalk or in the street?
This is a permanent march. We're working with cooperation of the Richmond Police Force. We will be in the streets, and we will be marching in the streets from the park to the hotel, and we will be marching around the hotel. And I think that we will be making enough noise that when they're in that in the ballroom in the Jefferson Hotel meeting, they're going to have to talk a little bit loud, because there's going to be cheap people chanting for justice outside their window. But it has all been arranged and permitted through the Richmond police to, that we're going to be in the street. I think the police were concerned that that this be orderly. And so they have, you know, since so many people are coming from out of town, and so they have made every effort to make sure that this is pulled off without any problems. And I think that we're confident of that.
So it sounds like it's going to be a family-friendly labor and human rights solidarity parade through downtown Richmond.
Absolutely. This is a family issue here when you're talking about what happens down in North Carolina in this plant, that they're running a plant where the line speed is moving at lightning speed, where people are processing. You have 5,500 workers processing 32,000 pigs a day. 1,000 an hour come by on your line. And the injuries are rampant. The company frequently fights people's rights to workers' compensation. Workers are injured and summarily pushed out the door on many occasions. And so the whole area down there is like a region of the walking wounded, of people who have come to work to earn their living and to contribute to this company, have been injured and then disregarded because they no longer could keep up with the line speed. And we believe these folks have a right to the rights on the job and a voice on the job, and that this company has union members in other parts of the country, and including in Virginia. And there's no reason why these workers in North Carolina can't enjoy the same rights and protections as other workers have around the country and even around the world, including Mexico, Poland, and other places.
So what kind of people who are listening to this should feel called to come out to this event? I mean, if you're a vegetarian and you don't eat pork, should you still come out?
Well, that's a good question. Here we're not taking on the issue of the meat itself, although we do clearly feel that that the safety of the workers and the quality of the product can't be unrelated. You know, if the product is moving so fast that you've got a product falling on the ground, for example, then nobody's going to want to eat that. And I think that the message we're giving, and this is really for consumers, whether you're pro-union, whether you're anti-union, whether you have no opinion, whether you eat meat or not, this meat is being sold in your community. It's under the name of Smithfield. If you go to our website, you can see a list of the products, but most of them say Smithfield right on the package, Smithfield Lean Generation, Smithfield Pork, Smithfield Bacon. It's packaged with abuse. So if you're someone that has moral values and are concerned about the kinds of exploitation that's taking place to produce the products being sold around the corner from you in your grocery store, then this is a place for you to be. And if you're someone who enjoys standing up for justice or would like an opportunity to be a part of an exciting kind of effort on behalf of justice led by the workers in this plant, then this will make your day.
Well, it sounds like you got an exciting day coming up tomorrow. So we got, and this is open to the public, at 11:30 pep rally at the Cedar Street Baptist Church in Churchill. And then after that, everybody's going to reconvene in Monroe Park at 1:50 and then march over to the hotel. That could go on for an hour or so, huh? Maybe two.
Yeah, I think that you know, we will march. The meeting probably, you know, the meeting will probably, we will march while they meet. And they meet somewhere for an hour or so. And we will continue to march. And then at the end of the march, we'll conclude with a rally there just across from the hotel. We think, though, that when this rally's done, the struggle won't be done. And one thing that we want everyone to keep in mind, and that's why I would encourage people to use our website at smithfieldjustice.com, is that as long as these issues are unresolved, and for 10 years, more than a decade, workers here have been trying to bring a union in and have had their rights violated, as long as that is still the case, there will be a campaign in Smithfield and other cities around the country to let the supermarkets in this town know that the community is offended that products packaged with abuse, where there's literally, in some ways, blood on that bacon, that is not something the community wants. So there will be future events, there will be future marches, there will be future rallies, and we want churches, community groups, students, and everyone else to get involved in this thing. And I think it's an education for everyone. In particular, it indicates both the failure of the National Labor Relations Board to enforce the violations, which included literally violence against some of the people participating in the election, threats, intimidation, arrests, firing, threats of deportation, and so on. And this company has shown a total disregard for the law. Smithfield Foods has shown a total disregard for the law. And only after almost 10 years of appeals, when they ran down to the end of the road and there were no appeals left except the Supreme Court, which is really not likely to hear a case like this, they finally decided and claimed that that they should be trusted to have an election. But the workers are very clear down there that Smithfield Foods has shown no respect for the law, has never even acknowledged any of the violations that the board found both under the Bush and Clinton board. And therefore, the company's word is really not to be trusted at this point. And they need to hear a really strong message from the community that no Virginia company that abuses workers anywhere should be able to get away with this.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, how does Smithfield get away with these kind of worker abuses? But it seems like you covered it. They just have this kind of neglect and way of working the system.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, Virginia's exporting our exploitation to other states. Not something that we should be proud of, and hopefully here in Richmond, people will take some responsibility and help you give some feedback to this company. What should people who are listening bring with them? Do they need to make signs? Should they bring some noisemakers? Mm-hmm. You know, some comfortable walking shoes.
Well, you're going to be out in the heat, so bring a hat. We'll have water there. Signs are always welcome.
Rain or shine now.
Rain or shine. Signs are always welcome. If you're part of an organization, we'd love to have your banner. We'll have marshals and we'll sort of coordinate the activity. But mostly just pass the word and show up with your friends. Spend a couple hours marching and meeting folks. We'll take care of the rest.
So There's no call for a boycott. There's no strike associated with this campaign as of yet. This is just where you're at in trying to get the message to the shareholders.
Well, these workers down in Tar Heel, these 5,500 workers, they're not on strike. They don't have a union. They don't have really any rights down there, and so they're fighting for their rights to a contract, a basic agreement with the company that certain rights will be respected and certain obligations will be kept. And the company that's refusing to do this and has refused to do it for a decade and has abused every opportunity that the workers have taken to try to gain their rights through the government agencies is going to be right here. All the players are going to be sitting in that room. Mr. Pope, the incoming CEO, Mr. Luter, the outgoing CEO, the board of directors, including Frank Royal, for example, who's a member of a prominent member of the Richmond community, is on the board of directors. These are people who need to face up to their responsibility. Mr. Royal, Mr. Luder, Mr. Pope, and others, they should not be able to hide from decision-making power. They can fix this tomorrow if they choose to.
Well, and with a little encouragement from your group and from the people in around Richmond who turn out for this event, maybe, I hope they will. I hope they do listen to you. What do you think? What do you think a harmonious relationship with the workers and Smithfield looks like? You know, if that were to come about.
Well, we actually, ironically, have some pretty good examples of that, because Smithfield acquired quite a few companies around the country in the last decade or so that already had unions, and so they bought a union when they bought the company, basically. And United Food and Commercial Workers, and in some cases other unions, have managed to have union contracts and have some respect and dignity on the job. Still a tough job, but at least your basics are covered. You get a little, you get some pensions and benefits and that kind of stuff. And Smithfield has been able to still make a profit. So we think that the exact same kind of model can be applied down in Tar Heel, North Carolina. Union rights, a legal contract, pensions, benefits, and respect.
Well, Gene, I want to thank you for coming on the air and giving everybody in Richmond the opportunity to hold a Virginia company accountable and to support these workers who are not getting their due on the job. Again, that's 11:30 a.m. pep rally at the Cedar Street Baptist Church. That's 2301 Cedar Street in Churchill. And that'll probably go for an hour or so, and then maybe two. And then everybody's going to reconvene at Monroe Park and march permitted, family-friendly, and spirited march down to the Jefferson Hotel.
Reconvene at 1:50, that'll be.
1:50 in Monroe Park tomorrow. So if you can take an early lunch, hit the pep rally. If you can take an early afternoon, and just go on down to Monroe Park, and you'll be with a lot of friendly faces. Read more about their campaign at smithfieldjustice.com. And to recap on the stories before, we have an ongoing discussion of George Allen's racial slurs at richmond.indymedia.org. And we also have a brand new blog here in Richmond responding to the reactionary editorials of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. So they're inspiring some reaction of their own at richmondtalksback.wordpress.com. Thanks to Thad for pointing that one out for us and starting that new blog. And again, we're coming to you every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1. I'm Jason Gard with Richmond Independent Media Center radio show. Hopefully next week we'll have some fresh air and another host doing this show for us.
You've been listening to Richmond Indie Media News with your host, Jason Gard.